Tonight I'm picking up on part 10 of the Wisdom of Solomon, and this is out of the book of Proverbs. We started covering some things in another section. It's from Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to pick up and kind of finish that section off hopefully tonight. But it says, if you take serious and fulfill the wisdom requirements of wisdom, you will find wisdom and gain understanding. Now, before that, we talked about some of the requirements of wisdom, okay? The things that wisdom requires of us. And I would go back and listen to those. Those were part 7 and part 8. We covered that. And then part 9, we got into the consequences, the results of us finding wisdom. And that's why it jumps off in the first thing we talked about, you'll be happy, because it starts off in Proverbs 3:13 saying, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Amen. And the man who gains understanding. So we know that that happiness belongs to us. Amen. Because of that, if we're walking in wisdom, we will walk in that state of being how happy. And that's what the word actually means in the Hebrew. We talked about that you'll have length of days with riches and honor. So that's the second thing. Those are the consequences of us walking in wisdom. We'll find that as we walk in the ways of wisdom, there'll be pleasantness. The ways of wisdom are pleasantness, and our paths are peace. So if we want our ways to be pleasant, we want our paths to be peace, then we got to walk in that wisdom. Amen. And that's how one of the ways you can know that you're actually walking in wisdom is that you start experiencing that pleasantness and you experiencing that peace in your life as you go about your business and your daily affairs and so on. And especially when you take hold of walking the way wisdom calls you to walk, then as you step off into that, because it is the paths and the ways of wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Her paths are peace. So as we walk in her ways, then we're guaranteed pleasantness and peace in our lives as we go about our daily affairs. Amen. And that was part 9. Tonight we're going to pick up on the next part of this, is that wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. So if you take hold of the requirements of wisdom, you walk in wisdom, it's going to be a tree of life to you. This is Proverbs 3:18. I added 3:13 in all of these just because so we could tie it straight back to happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. But verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Okay. Now, the word tree there is actually just means tree. And I like this whole thing about its firmness. There's, you know, wisdom is a tree of life. In other words, there's a couple of aspects to this. You know, one is that there's this firmness, this strength about you as you walk in wisdom, that there's going to be this solidity, this stability in you. There's other places that talk about that as well, but I just wanted to kind of point this out, that wisdom is a tree of life. You know, she's a tree of life. And not all trees have fruit. They do in some sense. They bud, they flower, they drop their seeds and so on. But one of the things that I want you to get out of this is that wisdom is a tree of life. And the word for life there is the word chi, and it means alive, hence raw, which is dealing with, you know, with flesh, like the flesh of an animal. But it also carries the meaning of fresh, as in plants, water, and year. Strong, that it's a tree of strength, a tree of freshness, a tree of, you know, of just of life, in the sense of that it's raw and flesh, and it's something that could sustain you. And it's also life or living thing. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word life as living, alive, life, sustenance, maintenance, revival, renewal. And I want you to take a hold of Brown Drivers Briggs' definition in understanding that as you walk in wisdom, as you yield to wisdom and walk in the ways of wisdom, she will become a tree of life to you, of sustenance, maintenance, revival, and renewal. All right? She will revive you. She will renew you. And so there's these benefits, these things that become ours because we're walking in wisdom. They become very distinct. They become very specific. All right. So she's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And the word take hold there is the word kasak, and it means to fasten upon. You know, to for those who fasten upon her. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to have or take or keep hold of. To those who keep hold of her. To those who retain or contain her. So, I mean, we have to look at it this way. I mean, we might know stuff, but when we really take hold of wisdom and make it a part of our lives and we begin to live and walk based on the wisdom of God and on the wisdom that we, even the wisdom we find here in Proverbs and throughout the Word of God, as we take hold of that wisdom and make it ours and we live it, okay, then she becomes a tree of life to us. And then it goes on to say, and happy are all who retain her. Happy are all who retain her. And the word retain there really is the word tamak, which means to sustain, by implication, to obtain, to keep fast. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to grasp, hold, support, attain, lay hold of, and hold fast. So it's different from the word kasak. Kasak is a much stronger word, I think, in that sense. But the word retain means that once you have wisdom, you don't let go of it. You keep hold of it. You sustain that wisdom. You sustain the act of having that wisdom. It's one thing, you know, there are moments in our lives, people, where we can attain these places in our lives and in our walks with God, where we're very connected with the Father and we're very connected with the Holy Spirit. We're very connected to the Word of God. And then all of a sudden we'll find another, you know, a week or 2 weeks down the line, we're not as connected. Well, it's not that you've fallen away. It's that you've lost hold of what you had when you were being connected. And the key is stay in that connection. Don't let it go. And one of the ways, and this is just an aside, but one of the ways that you maintain that hold, that retaining of wisdom in your life, is that pay attention to what may have triggered you letting it go, letting not holding fast to wisdom, putting it aside rather than, you know, staying with it and grasping it and keeping hold of it in your life. Pay attention, think about it, and start watching out for those things that can be triggers to you getting distracted off of the wisdom of God and onto more of the flesh or just natural things. I mean, I think one of the problems is that, you know, we go along, you know, we're connected, we're doing good, and then all of a sudden we have this tendency to rest on our laurels. We tend to think that everything is okay now, and we kind of relax. And in that relaxing is when we begin to move more naturally in an assumption that we're staying with that wisdom, that we're staying in our connection with God. And you can't do that, because the moment you relax is when you begin to drift away. You know, and it talks about that in Hebrews chapter 2, you know, not to let ourselves drift away from the things that we've received from God. Amen. We're not to let those drift away, or let ourselves drift away from it. Amen. And so there's a need for us to pay attention to whatever may open the door to that drifting off. And I've done it. I don't know how many hundreds of times I've done it. And it's one of those things when you got to catch yourself and get yourself back to, you know, grabbing and taking hold and retaining and going after the wisdom of God and going after the knowledge of God and so on. Amen. And as you do that, then you become happy. It says, and happy are all who retain her. And that's in verse 18 of chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. This word happy here, though, is different from the word happy that's found in verse 13. The word happy found in verse 13 in the Hebrew means how happy. It's a person is, it literally just means happiness is, you know, is the man who finds wisdom. In this case, in verse 18, the word happy is the word ashar in the Hebrew, and it means to be straight, especially to be level. And as a result of that, it means right or happy. Figuratively, it means to go forward, be honest, prosper. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to go straight. Remember, we've looked at this word ashar before in its use, being used as to mean that you're right, you know, with God, and right is the man, or straight or forward, or and that's where that word comes in. It means to be very straight, okay? But in the sense of that being straight, it doesn't just mean that you're straight in your character. It also means that you're advancing, you're moving forward, you're progressing to make progress, to be. And that's how Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as, you know, to go straight, walk, go on, advance, make progress, to be made happy, to be blessed. And that's what God wants you to understand, is that as you walk in that wisdom and you take hold of her and you retain her, you're going to make progress. You're going to advance. Okay. You're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed in the process. Amen. And the next set of the next couple of scriptures kind of confirm that, because they take off a little bit and they seem to be saying something different, but in a sense that what they're saying is for us as well. You know, verse 19 and 20 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew." All right. So, and it seems like that's like, what's that got to do with us? And how does that affect us? Well, God, by wisdom, God founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Okay. That means that wisdom will help you build your life, build your world. And that's what you got to understand, is that as wisdom, what God did in creating the heavens and the earth, in creating man, in breaking up the depths, and, you know, for water to be able to come up and water the ground, you know, what he did by wisdom. It was something he accomplished by wisdom. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. In other words, by wisdom, he established it. He laid the foundation. He laid it out. He found the earth. He caused the earth to be built together, all right, to come together and be built. So he founded the earth by wisdom. By understanding, and the word understanding there is the word tabuna, which means intelligence. You know, Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as intelligence, understanding, insight, the faculty of understanding. Whereas Strong's just purely defines that word tabuna as intelligence. You know, intelligence, you know, if you really think about what intelligence means, it means the capacity to grasp, to understand, to take apart, put back together, to understand and perceive into things. That's intelligence, all right? And so, you know, by intelligence, God established the heavens. Well, you know, you'll notice that first came the wisdom, and then out of that wisdom comes this intelligence, this ability to, this insight, this ability, this faculty of understanding comes out of that wisdom. And by understanding, he established the heavens. And the word established there literally is the word kun, which means to erect, you know, causationally to set up. God set up the heavens. And that's what that means there. He established, he set up the heavens. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to be firm, to be stable, to be established, to be firmly established, to arrange, to order. And so God arranged the heavens. He ordered the heavens. He firmly established them. All right. I mean, that's the reason why over the last thousands of years, the planet hasn't been destroyed, is because God has firmly established the heavens. He's established our solar system. He's established the orbit of our planet and where we're going and how we're going and so on. Amen. And so God, he established the heavens. Now, the word heavens has always been kind of an interesting thing to me. In the Hebrew, it's the word shamayim, and it means the sky. It means the sky as aloft, and perhaps alluding to the visible arch in which the clouds move, as well as to the higher ether where the celestial bodies revolve. And okay, so it's you know, the Paul talks about the third heaven. They were caught up into the third heaven. Well, you know, the first heaven is the sky just up above the planet where the clouds are. And then you have above that, which is the heavens, which is where the stars are. And then you have the third heaven, which is the heaven where God dwells, where the people are now that have gone on to be with Jesus, that they're in heaven now. There's no longer anybody in Abraham's bosom. They are now in heaven. Amen. That's where everybody's at. And so that's the third heaven. Brown Drivers Briggs kind of confirms this. They define the word shamayim as heaven, heavens, sky, visible heaven, sky as the visible universe, the sky, atmosphere, and then heaven as the abode of God. So in Brown Drivers Briggs defines it you know, and brings along all three heavens in their definition of it. But I've always liked that word, because what does that mean? What are we talking about when he says he's established the heavens? Well, you could say he's established all of them. He's established the sky above us where the clouds are. And you know, and we see this here. It says, you know, in the next verse, verse 20, it says, by his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down dew. So we know that it's part of it is the clouds and the sky where, you know, he was able by his wisdom and his intelligence to cause that recycling of water into the atmosphere and the rain to come down. You know, that's one way that that water can be purified, is that it goes up into the rain. Now, I know that for the most part, people consider rainwater to be dirty water because it's dust and it's water that's condensed around dust particles that causes rain. And that's what you see in the clouds. When clouds begin to form, it's dust and then water is condensing around that dust up there in the atmosphere. But still, it's a recycling of that water out of the earth into back into the earth, okay, for us. It's really a cool thing. And so he established the heavens. And by his knowledge, I'm just going to go ahead and move on. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. And the word knowledge there is actually the word da'ath, which means knowledge, what the things that God knew. So you see these three things, wisdom, intelligence, and then knowledge. And that's, I'm going to tell you something. When you're going after the wisdom of God, you're going after multiple things. You're going after the increasing of your intelligence, wisdom in general, you know, whatever God's wisdom that he gives to you that you start taking hold of. And then intelligence, that ability to have, you know, to understand and the faculty of understanding things, to the insight and faculty of understanding. Amen. And then on top of that, you know, knowledge. We need to increase our knowledge, you know, and that's the basis of developing skill sets. You know, is that, you know, you gain some knowledge, you understand it, you begin to understand what you're learning, and then you learn how to put what you've learned to work. And that's where wisdom comes in. And so those things are all important for us. Amen. So by his knowledge, by his da'ath, the depths were broken up. And this, the word for depths here, this is kind of interesting. It's the word tehom, and it means an abyss as a surging mass of water, especially the deep, the main sea or subterranean water supply. So when God first created the heavens and the earth, the water came up from the ground and watered all the plants and all the trees and everything that was on the ground. It came up out of the ground, and you probably had lakes, you had some streams. I mean, you think of streams, you know, streams come right out of mountains. I mean, I've been at mountainsides where I've just, water is just coming out of the mountain. It just comes right out of the mountain. One day we had stopped along the road to check something out, and as I was looking around, I saw water coming right out of the mountain and streaming down into, you know, down into creating a stream that was going out. I walked right up there and just took a drink right out of that, man. I mean, that you're talking the purest water is right there coming right out of that mountain, you know, coming right out of the side of that hill. And I just was drinking it. I mean, that's how God did it. He broke it up so that water was capable of coming up out of that ground, soaking up out of that ground and being able to water everything that we see around us. And it was probably way more green than it is now. And so you got to understand that took God's, and you know, that knowledge of how to do that. Amen. But what's really interesting is that, and I don't know if you guys know this, but underneath Death Valley, and everybody knows of Death Valley as being the lowest point, I believe it's the lowest point on earth, you know, below sea level. And it's, you know, it's desolate out there in Death Valley. It's dry. What most people don't know is that down underneath Death Valley is an ocean of fresh water. There's an ocean of fresh water, but it's just down there, and it's doing no good to the desert up above it, and which is really an interesting thing when you think about it. And so God's knowledge, he was able to take that and break it up, break up the depths of water so that they were able to filter up. I mean, that's going against gravity. How do you do that? You know, but they filter up in through the earth and water everything around them. And that's, God did that. God knows how to do that. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. Metaphorically, take this as a metaphor. We all have skill sets. We all have capabilities and talents on the inside of us. And some of us have not developed them. Some of us have developed some of them. I don't think anybody's developed all of them, but I do believe that there are some that haven't developed those latent abilities on the inside of them. They haven't developed those talents or abilities. And you know what? With knowledge and understanding and wisdom, you can break those up on the inside of you and begin to bring them forth. I believe that God will show you how to do that. He did that for me. There was a lot of things that I didn't know how to do. And over time, I began to grow in wisdom. I began to grow even in my intelligence, my ability to understand. And then my knowledge began to grow. And as a result, all of those talents started coming forward. And I don't believe all of them. I don't think I've developed all of what's inside of me to do. And then frankly, guys, to be honest with you, I think that's going to be eternity. You know, that's part of what we're going to be doing during eternity, is that God created us in his image. God placed in us what he called us to be and do. And what he really placed in us to express and manifest, that's him, and even him on his creative ability. And we're going to bring that out. We're going to spend eternity developing those kinds of talents, developing those things inside of us that we may have never even understood that were there. And for some people, there's a tremendous frustration in their lives because they have something inside them and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to drag it out, how to get it out there. Well, listen to me. If you start really going after wisdom and knowledge and understanding, if you really start going after these things, God will help you break up the depths where those latent talents lay buried in there like masses of water that could feed your life and cause you to flourish even more so than maybe you're even doing now. God wants to do that. And it's amazing because I've applied myself to a lot of things and I've used talents that I didn't even know I had until I got into these places and they started coming out. They started coming out of me. And as I started developing them, they made me more and more valuable, which is a very good thing, you know. But at the same time, he's made my ways pleasant. My work is pleasant. You know, it's peaceful when I'm at work. You know, there's no stress. There's no striving. And when somebody gets out of sorts, we just kind of help them get back into sorts. And you know, they do. You know, people just want to get the work done. And you know, when you learn how to deal with people, when you learn how to work with people, you know, you begin to bring that peace. You begin to bring that wisdom out and bring those things out, you know, in a way that people, that is a blessing to people around you. And you know, it's something to behold when you see God doing that and helping you bring those things out. And I really believe that's what God wants to do. And so that's why I put in there, it says by wisdom, you know, if you look at the top there above the scripture, it says by wisdom, God founded the earth and by understanding established the heavens. Wisdom will help you build your life. It'll help you draw out what your life is and what it's meant to be. Amen. Praise God. I hope that helps. Now, to keep, this is kind of a final part here that's for this section that's really important to us. To keep sound wisdom and discretion, you must not let them out of your sight. Your life, your safety, your stability depend on it. Now, Proverbs 3:21 through 24 says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Now, remember, we're coming right on the heels of Revelations 3:19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. Verse 21 says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Now, folks, there's a lot of turmoil going on in our country right now. And I was reading Matthew today because I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm reading in Matthew, and it's in chapter 12. I was in Matthew chapter 12. And one of the things that Jesus said because the Pharisees, he was casting out demons. Well, in this one case, there was a man who had a who was blind and mute, and so Jesus cast out the demon, and the blind and mute man was able to see, and he was able to talk. All right, and then the Pharisees, they got angry, and they said, you know, you're doing that by Beelzebub. And Jesus said, well, how can Satan cast out Satan? And then he goes on to say, he says, a kingdom that's divided against itself, that's split, will be destroyed, basically. And it made me reflect on our country right now. We're so divided as a country, and that's how we got, how we're going to end up being destroyed if we're not careful. If somebody can't bring some kind of unity into this country again, that division that exists right now in our country, and it's a political, social, now it's more social even than it is political. And if we don't bring a, if we don't figure out a way to bring that unity back in, it could be the destruction of our country, you know, and of our nation. And Jesus said, you know, when a nation is divided in itself, against itself, then, you know, and it comes into destruction. I don't know if the word is destruction, but it's somewhere along that line. That country won't stand. It won't last. And he goes all the way down into a city, nation, and people. If they're divided against themselves, how can it stand? How can a city stand if it's divided in itself? And so it you know, that's something that we need to, you know, we need to pay attention to. Now, I'm just, that God had me just share that with you guys because it was important. But understand that you can't try to be casual about your life and then be walking in wisdom. You've got to fight to hold on to wisdom. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul, grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Now, Israel went through a lot of turmoil. They went through division. They actually broke up, you know, between Judah and Israel, you know, into two nations. And they had no end of trouble because of that. And as I was talking about our nation, if we continue in this divisive, you know, split that we have, we're going to end up coming apart at the seams as a nation. And if you're not careful, if you get so wrapped up in that, you're not going to be able to sleep at night. Some of you, you know, you're going to be wondering what the heck's going on. There's going to be all this fear. Now, look at what it says here. It says that if you keep sound wisdom and discretion, there'll be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. And when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. People understand that if you walk in wisdom, if you hold on to it, if you do not let it depart from your eyes, and that word depart is the word luser, which means to turn aside, to depart, or be perverse. In other words, don't let what's in your eyes be switched off and go against wisdom, because that's what perverse means. It means to be turned aside to something else that's contrary to wisdom. Don't let your eyes, what your eyes are looking at, be, you know, turned off of from wisdom. And then it says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. And if you do that, you know, then you're going to be walking safely in your way. If you do that, your foot's not going to stumble. If you do that, then when you lie down, you won't be afraid and your sleep will be sweet. So how much of us are focused on wisdom and growing in wisdom and walking in that wisdom? And then how much of us are focused on all that the world's trying to tell us to think, do, and say? If you're focusing on the wisdom of the world, and listen to me, there's a lot of things that I see, you know, that people will tell me, if you don't do this, you're going to die. not none of people around you. I'm talking about people, you know, when I look at things on the news or when I look at things in other venues, you know, there's people constantly saying, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, this is what's coming, that's what's coming. And they're trying to get you all riled up. For what? If you and I, if we walk in wisdom, then we're going to walk safely. We're not going to stumble, and we're going to be able to lie down and sleep and have sweet sleep without being afraid. I mean, I don't know about you, but I go to sleep at night. I don't care what's going on out there. I go to sleep at night. I fall asleep, man. I'm out. My sleep is sweet. Now, you know, as I get older, I get woke up, you know, sometimes throughout the night, sometimes only once. But, you know, you get woke up, you got to go to the restroom or do whatever. And you know what? It's like, okay, that's disrupting my sleep. But I don't care, man. I go back to sleep and I'm out. You know, I knock out. I'm done. And that's because I understand. I have the understanding. I have the knowledge. I have the understanding. You know, I have the wisdom to know. And because of that, I'm walking safely in my way. I'm not going to stumble. And the word keep there is the word natsar, which means keep sound wisdom. That word natsar means to guard in a good sense, protect, maintain, and obey. So if I have sound wisdom, then I got to keep it. And it doesn't just mean guard it, you know, write it down, put it up on the shelf for when you might need it. No, guarding it means to hold on to it, maintain that in your eyes. Keep it, hold on to it, do not let it depart from your eyes, and then obey it. You know, whatever wisdom is telling you to do, obey it. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things out there, there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices out there trying to tell you what is wisdom. Amen. And for me in my life, wisdom is, first of all, obey God, follow Jesus, and do what God tells me to do. If I'm doing what God tells me to do, then I'm going to be as okay as I can be. As a matter of fact, God told me one time, he says, son, he goes, it doesn't matter where you go and live. He goes, that doesn't matter. He goes, that's not going to guarantee your safety. He says, but walking with me will guarantee your, I'll guarantee your safety. And it just put me at ease about a lot of things. You know, so there's a lot of voices out there, and you can't let them drive you in what you think is wisdom. You got to get that wisdom from God. Amen. Keep sound wisdom. Now, the word for sound wisdom there, those two words, sound wisdom in the English, there is actually one word in the Hebrew, and it's the word tushia. Brown Drivers Briggs gives the best definition. It defines it as wisdom, but sound knowledge. Sound or efficient wisdom. So it's not just wisdom, it's efficient wisdom, it's sound wisdom. In other words, every time you follow it, it produces the same positive result in your life. And it, because of that, it means abiding success. And in parentheses there, it says the effect of sound wisdom. So when you walk in sound wisdom, you gain an abiding success in your life. It stays with you. It's not just taken away from you. All right. It can't be just ripped. You can't be just ripped off from it. Amen. It's an abiding success. And so when you look at sound wisdom, you're talking about the kind of wisdom that will guarantee, you know, your success, which is the effect of sound wisdom. Now, when I say success, I know wisdom. If you follow wisdom, and its right hand is riches and honor, and left hand long life, right hand is long life, and left hand is riches and honor. So right hand is more important. Long life. You want long life more than riches and honor. Riches and honor you can get as you go along, and things change, but you can always get it back. And that's the key to sound wisdom. Sound wisdom is the ability to have this sound and efficient wisdom that will cause you to be able to succeed no matter what, wherever you're at. Amen. And then, of course, the word discretion there is the word mesima in the Greek, and it means a plan. Now, usually this word mesima is usually an evil type of plan. It's machination, which means, you know, a contrivance to try and either take advantage of somebody or to destroy somebody or to gain from somebody. All right. But sometimes that word can be used in a good sense, which means sagacity. And sagacity, the definition of that is acute mental discernment and soundness of judgment. And so that's what you want. When you walk in wisdom, what you gain out of that is an efficiency of wisdom that allows you to succeed at whatever you're putting your hand to. And then also on top of that, walking in discretion, which is acute mental discernment and soundness of judgment. In other words, you're able to look at things and you'll go, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to be very good. It's not going to be helpful. And also you can look at things that are coming at you and you can say, I don't need that. That's not going to be good for me. And then you can look at something else and it may not look like much. And you go, you know what? I can do something with that. You know, and you can take hold of things and cause good success out of those. You can get abiding success out of those things. Amen. And so this is what sound wisdom and discretion, and this is what God wants you to go after in your wisdom. He wants you to go after sound wisdom and discretion. Those, you know, if you can start getting a hold of those two things, you know, having good judgment, sound judgment, you know, acute mental discernment, to be sharp mentally to discern, you know, between good and evil, between effective and ineffective, right and wrong, you know, something that's going to be helpful and something that's not going to be helpful. If you can gain that kind of mental discernment and have that kind of good judgment, that sound judgment, you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Amen. That's what God wants us to become. He wants us to be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents, people. And that wisdom, that wise as serpents, carries with it that whole concept of being efficient in your wisdom. And then on top of that, being sound in your judgment and having acute mental discernment. You know, you can't have sound judgment if you don't have acute mental discernment. If you can't tell what's a trap and what's not, if you can't tell what's really good for you and what's not, then you can never truly have sound judgment. God needs you to develop that acuity. And acuity is being acute. And what that means is sharp, to be able to divide accurately, you know, to divide through effectively and divide things out. What's going to be good for you, what's not good for you. You know, what's going to be good, what's going to be positive in the sense of long-term, short-term, and so on. And be able to discern those things. Amen? And so if we go after those things and then we keep them, we don't let them depart. We hold on to them. In other words, you're not making stupid judgments. I mean, you gain the ability to make sound judgment. And then somewhere along the way, you start making stupid decisions. That's not sound judgment. That's not sound wisdom. Amen. That's not the good discretion there. All right. So we got to hold on to them. Once we start getting them, we hold on to them. And it's funny because there are things in my life that are principal to me. You know, they're principles. They're things that I make decisions based on. And one of the principles is I don't make a decision based on how good it sounds. That's one of my principles. I don't make decisions based on how good it sounds. I don't make decisions based on how much pressure is being put on me to make that decision. I won't make a decision based on that. That's just a principle. And you can ask my wife, you can ask Brian. They know me, man. They know that, you know, if they can come to me and give me something that, you know, that this is what we believe should be being done. But if they put pressure on me immediately, I'm not going to make a decision based on that. I'll make a decision. I have to back off. I have to back off and pray and seek God over things. Now, there are some things that, you know, as you know, you give me a moment, I back off, and then I see the wisdom in doing it, then I'll jump on it. But it's not because of the pressure that I'm making that decision. It's because I've had a moment to get away from it, and then I can see that that is sound wisdom. Sorry, excuse me. But you'll never get anywhere as effectively for your life, if you're making decisions based on outside pressure to do something. You need to put a stop to that. You need to step back and you need to say, you know what? I need to pray. And you need to go get in the Word. You need to start seeking God for wisdom, for insight. And as you do that, then you'll begin to build up this repertoire of principles that help you make the right decisions all the time. Now, one of the ways I do make decisions You know, those are the ways I don't make decisions. One of the ways I do make decisions is that when I have a peace about something and it flows in that direction and my heart kind of flows in that direction, I know that that's God leading me to do that. You know, and one of the ways I do make decisions when it lines up with the Word, with what the Word is telling me, has been telling me. If it lines up with scriptures that I've been meditating on, that God's had me, you know, looking at, feeding into myself, and it lines up with what the Word is already telling me, absolutely. That's you know, that there is wisdom. I follow that. Amen. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you'll begin to build these principles as you go along. Now, I didn't think about sharing all this stuff, so I don't have a whole lot. But there's more. There's other things that I look at as well. I can't think of them right now, but I give you a couple of them at least so that you can start with those for yourselves if you want. Now, it goes on to say in verse 22, if you keep sound wisdom and discretion, verse 22 says, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. They will be life to your soul. And of course, the word life, there's the word chi, and we already discussed that. There'll be life to your soul. It'll provide revival. It'll provide, well, everything that life says here, up here. You know, you got strength, life, sustenance, maintenance, revival, renewal. I mean, you got all these things. It'll be life to your soul. You know, it'll be life to your soul and grace to your neck. So when you're tapping into the wisdom of God and you're moving along in that wisdom, you're going to experience that life in your soul. As a matter of fact, there's been some things that I made decisions on just over the last week or so, and just some things that I've settled in my heart. And as I settled them in my heart, I started experiencing this lightness in my soul, this life in my soul. And I was out. I just got through with a meeting today, and I just needed to take a break and get up and walk away. And I was went into the TV room, and I was sitting there talking to Eva for a little bit. And I'm walking all, I'm all over the place, man. I'm bouncing around. I'm all over the place. And you know, I couldn't even hardly settle down as, and I wasn't really talking a lot. I was just kind of sharing with her a little bit, but I started recognizing that what's going on inside of me is that this life, this activity is going on inside of me, that God has provided this life to my soul. And I'm starting to see that it's because there's some things that I've tapped into what are the wisdom of God for my life and for our lives. And I've just, it's, you know, that life is in there. See, when you're making the right decisions and God's behind you, you're going to experience that life on the inside. You're going to experience that freedom. You're going to experience a joy. You're going to experience a peace in you. And that's wisdom. That's God's wisdom active inside of you. Amen. And then it'll be grace to your neck. And the word grace there just means graciousness. It's graciousness to your neck. You know, people look at you and they're going to see grace all around you. You're going to have favor every which way you turn. Amen. And then it goes on in verse 23. It says, and you will walk safely in your way. You will walk safely in your way. And the word walk there is the word halak, which means to traverse, to go or travel across or over, to walk about. You know, whereas the other word for walk is the word derek, which means your course of action or your mode of action or your course of life. You know, your behavior and some of that. This here really is literally more referencing, you know, you traversing. You know, you're going through life. Like you go from home to work. That's traversing. That's this word halak. You're to go or to travel across or over. You know, when I go out about my business on a daily basis, which I don't go out of the house very much because I've got so much going on inside that I try to get out more on the weekends than I do during the week to get out and away from the house so that I can get out, you know, and not be just inside, because it gets a little bit burdening when you're just shoved into one spot all the time. And so, you know, you get out, you walk about, you go. And as I do that, man, I know that there's this safety, you know, that this is what wisdom will provide for you. You'll walk safely. And the word safely there is the word batak in the Hebrew, and it means a place of refuge. Abstractly, it means safety. Both the fact, the security, and then the feeling, which is trust. And adverbially, you know, like walking here, you know, it's used as an adverb here. It carries that meaning of safely. You will walk safely, which means that you will walk in a security and a trust. you're secure. You know God's taking care of you. And I mean, that's been the case, you know, for a while now for me, and that, you know, God told me, he said, after the pandemic, he said, there's going to come a time when you'll go back out. You'll go out and you won't go back in. And in the sense of being, you know, back in, sequestered into your house again. He goes, that's going to go away. And he goes, you're going to go out and you're going to be out there. And I knew that when I hit that place that I was going to be safe going out. And that's exactly why. And right. And because of that, it's because I kept the wisdom. I kept the discretion. You know, I paid attention. You know, I listened. And I'm going to tell you something. I think that, you know, whether or not, you know, people think the government was doing something weird because of the pandemic, I don't really care. I just kind of followed it. We did what we were supposed to do. And you know what? Coming out the other end of it, I'm safe, man, because I followed the wisdom. I listened. In some cases, I listened to our government. I listened to the rulers. You know, they told us to do that. Whether they had a right or wrong, you know, reason for doing it, I didn't care. I mean, I was okay. People that had to go to work, they went to work and they didn't get sick at all. You know, I mean, like you think of Yoli, I don't know if Yoli's on tonight, but I mean, the whole pandemic, she had to work. She literally had to go into her job every day. She never got sick once. You know, God took care of her. God took care of those that went in and had to do what they had to do. But we're, you know, if you're walking in that sound wisdom and that discretion is paying attention, having good judgment, a mental discernment, amen, about what you're doing, so that you can walk safely in your way. And the word way there is the word Derek. You know, that's the one I was referring to earlier. A road is trodden, course of life or mode of action. Amen. You'll walk safely in your way, wherever you go, whatever you do, in your mode of action or your course of life. You get out, you go to work. I've been going to work. I don't go to work now because I'm working remote full time now. But things are changing in our company. And as they change, you know, we may have to go back in and go back into work full time. If that happens, no big deal. I'm not going to worry about it because what? I'm going to walk safely. I'm going to be, because I keep sound wisdom and discretion. You know, I'm walking in that discretion. Amen. That soundness of judgment and that mental discernment. I'm paying attention to it. And it's life to my soul and grace around my neck. And because of that, I'm expecting to walk safely in my way, in my course of action, in my life. Amen. And then it goes on to say, and your foot will not stumble. And the word stumble there is the word nagaf, which means to push, to gore, to defeat, to stub, as in stub the toe, or to inflict a disease. That's another way it means that. So as I go along, I'm not going to get damaged. Calamity's not going to hit me. I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to get inflicted with disease. Amen. And then, of course, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you'll lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do you guys get that? I mean, this is when you latch onto these things and start becoming people of sound wisdom and discretion, you're going to be powerful, you know. And there's this bubble that gets built around you, this bubble of protection, bubble of life, bubble of grace, you know, and bubble of safety, you know, that you won't be afraid. And no matter what's going on, I mean, we're talking about, you know, they're saying all kinds of stuff out there. The voices are out there saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You know what? I do the part that I can do, but you know what? I'm not driven by that. I'm not driven by those voices at all. Amen. I'm not driven by those voices. And because of that, I got my focus on what's sound wisdom, you know, what is discretion. Amen. That's my goal. I'm not perfect at it by any stretch of the imagination. I don't have it wired completely, people. You know, it's something that I'm continuously going after. I'm seeking the wisdom of God on things. And God's certainly leading me. He's certainly speaking to me internally and showing me what he wants. And we're working towards those things that he wants. But at the same time, I'm not going to be driven by voices. I'm not going to be driven by the world's reasonings. You know, what they're trying to, you know, force and, you know, command to be wisdom. I'm not going based on that. Amen. I'm going based on God's wisdom in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, things that we're not supposed to do if we're wise. This, in Proverbs 3, it just kind of launches into these do not do things. And so I just grouped them together and you know, it's, you know, the things that wisdom tells us that we're not supposed to do if we're wise. So if you're going to be wise, these are the things that you are not supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to do. So the first one off is Proverbs 3:25 through 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So we're not to be afraid of sudden terror. We're not to be afraid of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Notice it says when it comes. That word comes there what means to come or go, to come upon, to fall or light upon, to attack as an enemy. You know, so when trouble from the wicked comes, we're not to be afraid. You know, we're not to be afraid of that. We're not to be afraid of sudden terror. And the word afraid there is the tip is that word yare in the Hebrew, and it means fear, morally to revere or be frightened. We're not to be afraid of sudden terror. And the word sudden there literally means instant or instantly. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as suddenly or surprisingly. When all of a sudden you got this terror pops up out of nowhere. And the word terror there is the word pakad in the Hebrew, and it means a sudden alarm. Properly, the thing, the object feared, and by implication, the feeling from the object that's fear. You know, there are some people that you mention things and they shiver and they get all, don't say that, don't talk about that. You know, that they're afraid of these things, these objects. You know, it's like Indiana Jones, the object that he feared, his terror were snakes. When he falls into a pit of snakes, I mean, oh my God! I mean, his fear came alive to him. All right, I mean that's in a story, but you get my point. You know, we're not to be afraid of those things, of sudden terrors, of something that crops up out of nowhere suddenly. That's an alarming thing. Amen. That's an alarming thing. I mean, people keep talking about World War III. People keep talking about what China's going to do, what Russia might do, what you know Iran is going to do. You know, and you know, we're not to be afraid of sudden terrors. We're not to live our lives in fear, people. And wisdom is telling you, if you're going to walk in me, this is what wisdom is telling you right now. If you're going to walk in me, if you're going to walk in wisdom, do not be afraid of sudden terror. Do you understand that? Do not be afraid of sudden terror. I remember one night I was laying there in bed and I laid down. I was about to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, man, I started feeling stuff in my chest, like it felt like my heart was like something was wrong. And I started, all of a sudden, I got this, you know, the kind of like the shakes a little bit. And I got this clammy feeling came over me. And I sat up in bed. And, you know, it's all of a sudden, there's this sudden alarm, you know. And it's like, you know, what do? You know? And you can call us, but I didn't have anybody over me that I could call. And so I called Jesus. And I'm sitting there, man, and I'm experiencing this thing. I don't know what it is. I don't think it was a heart attack or anything. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was some type of panic attack or what. But this fear tried to grip me. As fear just wrapped up around me and just tried to grip me. And I sat up and I stopped. And I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you've not given me a spirit of fear. I dealt with that before I even dealt with the symptoms, man. I said, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So right now I speak to this fear and I command this fear to be gone in Jesus' name. Satan, you get your foul hands off me. You loose me and you let me go. And man, I just lit into him like that. I lit into that fear and I broke the power of that fear from over me. And I commanded it to be gone. And I said, Father God, I will not be afraid of this. I don't know what this is. It could be a heart attack for all. I said, I'm not afraid of anything. I refuse to be afraid. You've not given me a spirit of fear. And I mean, instantly the fear left. I mean, it just left instantly. And so did all the symptoms. Instantly left. All the symptoms left. And I sat there and I just said, Father, in Jesus' name, whatever that physical side of this was, I take authority over that and I break the power of it from over my body and I command me to be healed. My body is healed. My heart is strong. My body is strong. I am healed in Jesus' name. And I sat there for a few minutes and I grabbed my phone and popped it open and I just read a few scriptures just to take my mind off it for a moment. Laid back down. I was out like a light. Woke up the next day feeling great. You've got to learn to not be afraid of sudden terrors. You know, I mean, accidents can happen, but what do you do in the midst of that accident? Are you prepared in your heart to break the power of that, not let that fear get a hold of you? I'm going to tell you something. More death and destruction comes as a on the heels of fear than it does on anything. You react in fear, it could cost you your life. Wisdom tells you, do not be afraid of sudden terror. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. That's a command. If we're going to walk in wisdom, if we're going to reap the benefits, and one of those benefits we just already covered, we talked about, you know, if you walk in sound wisdom and discretion, you'll walk safely and you will not stumble. And part of the meaning and sense of that word stumble is you won't be inflicted with disease. You won't be defeated. You won't be gored out. You won't be pushed over. Amen. And so if that's the truth, then we have no reason to be afraid. Because wisdom tells us we're safe. You know, you walk in wisdom, you commit to wisdom, you keep hold of what you've got. I don't care how much wisdom you think you have, whatever God's given you, whatever He's shown you, retain it, hold on to it, and make sure that you are abiding by it. You're walking in it. And as you do that, you know, all of a sudden, all this other stuff, you're now free from it. Amen? Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Now, trouble there is the word shoah, and it means to rush over a tempest, by implication, devastation. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as ravage, devastation, ruin, or waste. Nor of the devastation from the wicked, nor of the ruin from the wicked, nor of the waste from the wicked. Okay? Don't be afraid of that. Trouble's going to come, you know? And if you're walking in wisdom, look at what he says in verse 26. Look what it says. It says, "For the Lord will be your confidence." That word confidence is the word kassel, and in a good sense, trust. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as confidence and hope. The Lord will be your confidence, you know, and will keep your foot from being caught. That word keep, there's the word shamar there, which means to hedge about as with thorns, to guard, to protect, to attend to. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to keep, to guard, keep watch and ward, to protect and save life. God will save your life. He will keep your foot from being caught. And the word caught there is the word leked, and it means something to be to capture with, a noose, a taking or a capture, from Brown Drivers Briggs. He will keep your foot from being caught. He will keep your life from being taken. We don't have to be afraid of the devastation that's coming from the wicked. And of course, the wicked is the word rasha, which means morally wrong. Concretely, it means an actively bad person. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as wicked or criminal, and or guilty one guilty of crime. We don't have to worry about criminals. God will keep us from being captured. He will keep us from the trap. You know, He will guard us from that. He will save our lives from that. That's who we're dealing with. So the first thing of what wisdom says we're not supposed to do is we're not to be afraid of sudden terror or trouble from the wicked when it comes. That's number one. I'm going to stop here. We'll pick up next week. Amen.